Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to Ohio State Week as your Golden Gophers travel to the Horseshoe for homecoming. How what a lovely surprise for your Golden Gophers as the Buckeye fans got their wish. They were tired of Big Noon. And now Minnesota gets to play 6:30 p.m. local time here in the Central Time Zone, in front of 100,000 screaming fans. But other than that, Mr. Lincoln, Mrs. Lincoln, Mr. Luke Buer, how was the play for you so far today?
The play? What play are we talking about? Are we talking about the fact that the government shut down, or what are we talking about here?
Well, many people are going to be calling this your Michael Jordan flu game.
Oh, my Michael. Yeah, I've felt better in my life, but you know, I like college football, and I'm ready to do this.
Well, I tell people in the pre-production meeting, Luke goes, not all heroes wear capes, and then he clicked record. And I think that is going to be very apropos for what this episode is going to entail, as your Golden Gophers are an over 3-touchdown
underdog.
Yes, against the number one team in the country.
Can I just give a plug, like a plug for your website quickly?
I think that's an outstanding idea, but some may call me biased. I'm unclear.
No, like obviously there's the aspect of you and Ryan and, you know, the articles you write and Dan contributes as well. There might be others that contribute on the writing side, and I read as much of it as I can. But the reality is like there's an infinite amount of content that exists these days, and I can't get to all of it. Right. Mm-hmm. So I obviously don't read all of it. But I also like to peruse the message board, and there's just a good community there. On our most recent episode, got some feedback on how I share stats, and maybe even more specifically advanced stats. And man, I thought that was just really, really good feedback. Some people just said they didn't like the way that I've provided that. So I'm going to take a different approach today. And I'm going to try this for the remainder of the season. And I appreciate that kind of feedback. If you have feedback, always send it to us. We are willing to listen. We are not perfect. And as long as you don't say something like to Ryan Burns, you know, have you lost weight? Or to me,
I've got a better one for this week. You get EPA questions and how you present it, and look at you changing your best with a necton mentality, some would say, within the building.
Yeah.
I had multiple people listen to the last episode where we talked about the Rutgers win and tell me that my wife should leave me and that I'm unbearable. Email from someone about that. Messages on social media. Thinking to myself, was I really that negative in talking about a win, Luke, that, you know, my wife needs to leave me and I have to depart her house?
You know, I generally get tagged in some of those, and I don't understand them. And you probably can attest that I can be incredibly direct with you over text message and in person on many matters, football related, podcast related, or personal related. But I think that we respect each other enough that. But the idea of telling someone that their wife needs to leave them or whatever, like, come on, that's a little bit low. Or I think one woman once told me, oh, you're Luke, I hate your voice. I was like, okay, that's something I can't change. Good for you. Like, I'm sorry that's what really bugs you in life is my voice. Like, I can't help that. I don't have a ton of control over that. But thanks for the comment. You know, it's stuff like that. Sure. I'm sorry.
Yeah, constructive feedback is something that in my line of work, I get every day, whether I like it or not.
You can't please everyone.
Yeah. I think we all do in whatever aspects, and how you handle it and how you approach it is key in how you navigate life. So we appreciate the feedback that we get on all these.
But I just want to say on 247, Ryan, like really good conversation back and forth. And I feel like I'm going to be able to portray some of this information in a better way. So, you know, jump in the Spotify comments, jump on GI, jump on Twitter, whatever you feel like, give us some feedback. I can't promise we're going to change everything, but if I notice like, hey, you may be onto something, we'll definitely do our best to do that. So
this is, look at us. This is a very healthy and productive conversation, unlike most of the world.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying our best here.
We're trying our best. Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, I'll listen to anybody's viewpoint or whatever, and I'll do it respectfully. And I hope that I learn something from it. I think that's kind of lost in today's day and age. I listen to you all the time talk about things that you dislike, and you know, here I am.
I'm just an old grumpy man at this stage of my life.
That, you are definitely older than me when it comes to being mad at stuff.
See, I say mad at things, and some of it's a bit.
It is a little bit of a bit, which I do appreciate. It is a bit.
I'm generally a very positive person in terms of how I navigate life.
I know.
It's when you deal with Gopher football every single waking moment of your life, and you know the history and what is potentially to come, it's trying to put on a bright and shining face all the time is one way to do it, or you can just tell it as it goes and as it is, and I think people respect that, but that's where I mean to tell you this Ohio State team that the Gophers have to travel to Columbus to play. I thought to myself when we did our preview edition ahead of the season, Ohio State lost both coordinators, 14 draft picks. They can't be the same team that won a national title last year, right? Well, let me tell you, for those of you who just had to turn down your earbuds a little bit, let me tell you, this team specifically defensively is outstanding, and it is going to be a very difficult test for your Golden Gophers, but I suppose we should probably start to get into it, which leads us to where do we start each and every week, Mr.
We start with injuries, because injuries often dictate the outcome of football games. I think the one that everybody's going to be most focused on is Darius Taylor. You've been talking about how many days away he's been from injury, and he should be right in that window where he might be able to come back. So will they bring him back now, or will they wait until Purdue?
That is the question, because once the Ohio State game comes on Saturday, that will be 28 days since the Gophers played Northwestern State, where Darius in the first series of the game offensively suffered a lower body soft tissue injury, of which your favorite head coach said a real positive diagnosis, and he hasn't played. So take that for what it's worth. Now, let me say this. I've asked around a lot about Darius not warming up prior to the Rutgers game. I was told that was a strategic decision, which I interpret, and you can take that however you would like to interpret, that they didn't want to show their hand about where Darius is in his progress. And we did, and I know many, many fans think that we don't ask the tough questions, and I would encourage you to watch a press conference or something of that variety, but it was asked, did Darius Taylor have a setback? The answer was, you'll find out 2 hours ahead of time. My latest intel is this. I think Darius is very close to returning. I don't believe there's been a setback. The thing that you and I should discuss, and I feel like we've discussed this at length, but just to give a refresher, if Darius Taylor, and I'll pose it to you this way, Luke, is at 95% health Saturday evening in Columbus, are you playing him or not?
So
he's not at 100%.
Yeah, I probably 95%. Go no. I probably go no.
I would do the exact same thing. And I know there's plenty of you that are going to be traveling out to Columbus. I'm sure I'll see at least a few of you on the flight out. I just believe that when you look at the stretch of games that Minnesota has to come, this is game 2 of 6 in this stretch. The next 3 of 4 are at home, and they are much more winnable. And I would love nothing more than to cover the second Gopher win in Columbus since 1950 on Saturday evening. I would be up all night writing about it, and I know many of you would be excited to read such things. I just believe for the best Gopher team, when you look at the next 4 games, that'll be plus or minus a touchdown. You need Darius Taylor to be a big part of that if you're still going to get to 7-8, whatever, however many wins it is. So this is me long-windedly saying, I don't believe there's been a setback. I think Darius Taylor has a shot to play this weekend. If he does play this weekend, I believe he would be on a pitch count, snap count, however you want to phrase it, a touch count even. But I would not. Now, the Gopher trainers know more. Darius Taylor, PJ Fleck, they all know more than me. I would save him for Purdue. I would make sure that he is ready to go for that, get his feet wet again against the Boilermakers, because then you have Nebraska, you have Iowa, and you have Michigan State, and you're going to need him to be a huge part of that. Now, we also don't know the status of players like Aiden Goosby, who you saw leave the game against Rutgers. It didn't look good. He was escorted by two trainers off into the injury tent. I don't expect him to play, which means Kerry Brown is probably going to play a little bit more strong safety than nickel, I would imagine. But it's going to be fascinating to see, because Garrison Monroe, we found out, who is normally be the guy, the kid from Shakopee, the redshirt sophomore, I believe now, he would have had an opportunity to get his first significant snaps, but we found out before the Rutgers game, he suffered an injury in the bye week, and he's now out. I think that's probably going to be a multi-week thing from the way I understand it. So does that mean we see more Darius Green? Is Zahir Rainier somewhere on the depth chart? Do we see potentially Zaquan Bryan slide inside, which gives Mike Gerald more access to opportunities? I'm unclear. But I'm going to be very curious to see what Aiden Goosby's status is. And then on the flip side for Ohio State, I don't think much is essentially known. I don't anticipate, or at least I didn't see coming out of the Washington game, too many injuries for them. But as we're going to talk about on this episode, Ohio State is one of probably four or five teams in college football that gets to select, not recruit, and they don't rebuild, they reload. So even if there is an injury, it's what XYZ four or five star kid is going to step in their place. What a blessing.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be fun for them and their fan base. But I imagine that the highs that we get to experience maybe aren't nearly as high as their highs. But sometimes our highs have to be more rewarding. I guess maybe winning a national championship is amazing. We don't know yet, at least in my lifetime. We do know seven times, but many of us don't know. It is very different. You know, they are very much one of the haves in college football. And in some ways, you got to thank them, because the Big Ten, which the Gophers are a part of and were a founding member, they benefit from their success. So.
And so, yeah, I mean, you look at the Meteorites deal, and there's a reason why Buckeye fans are always on, well, at least the Ohio State Buckeyes are always on a national TV syndicate somewhere, whether that's Big Noon at 11 a.m. or even the game on Saturday night, which will be 6:30 p.m. Central Time on NBC. People tune in to watch the Buckeyes, and Minnesota gets to reap the benefits of that with the Meteorites money. So if you're going to take the check, these are the types of games you have to play in if you're Minnesota.
All right, so should we preview when the Gophers are on offense?
Let's do it.
All right. Pardon me. I'm going to do this probably more often than I want, and I'm really sorry. Just kind of trying to clear my throat or whatever here and there. But the Gophers this season on offense are averaging 33.5 points per game. Ohio State is giving up. Are you ready for this, Ryan? 5.5 points per game. That ranks first in FBS and first in the Big Ten. This is going to be a general theme for the Ohio State defense. The Gophers are averaging 405 yards per game, and Ohio State is averaging giving up only 229. That ranks eighth and second in the Big Ten. From a rushing offense perspective, we know the Gophers are only averaging 144 offensive rushing yards per game, and Ohio State is giving up 97. And then in terms of total passing offense, the Gophers are averaging 261, and Ohio State is giving up 132 through the air. That's eighth and third, respectively, in the country. You know, I would have expected the Ohio State turnover margin to be higher. It's only a plus one, Ryan. That, to me, was kind of interesting. So I'd be curious to get your insight on what you think about what the Gophers have to do, and then I'm gonna interlace my my new approach with advanced stats to give my opinions on what I expect to see in, or how the Gophers can have success against Ohio State.
Yeah, this Ohio State defense is, I mean, and this is no slight to Oregon or to Phil Parker's Iowa team. I mean, those are going to be your top three defenses you go against here the rest of the way. And unfortunately for Minnesota, they're all on the road. It's something to where Ohio State, and I think I let off with this, had 8 players drafted off of last year's defense, plus their defensive coordinator, Jim Knowles, left to go to Penn State. So not only do you have 8 guys on defense drafted, you had to figure out what you were going to do at defensive coordinator. For 95% of programs in the country, you would see the defense take a step back. If I just told you those stats, it might be even 98% of programs. But that's the beauty of being Ohio State. You don't rebuild, you reload. And so who do they pick to be the next guy? Matt Patricia. If you're thinking to yourself, boy, that name sounds familiar. Why do I know that, Ryan? I'd say, first of all, you are a handsome and smart, and however, you know, you're a very handsome and smart person. You're very football smart. Many people are saying that about you. Matt Patricia, the longtime New England Patriots defensive coach for Belichick for so many years, that's who Ryan Day selects to run his defense. And you now look at what they've done through the first 4 games, and Luke led off with the statistics, only giving up 5.5 points per game. Well, Ryan, they haven't played anybody. Yeah, how about Texas to start the year, or even last week you took a 5.5-hour flight from Columbus to Seattle to take on a Washington team that hadn't lost at home in 22 games, and you haven't given up 10 points on the year yet.
I don't think I don't think that Ohio is really a slouch either offensively. Like,
yes, I think the point is they've played some teams. Now, I don't think Arch Manning is what Paul Feinbaum tried to tell me he was before the season, but that's Paul Feinbaum. I would just say they've played offenses with pulses, including Washington and Washington last week, and they have passed the test each time. It's not even just the scoring defense, folks. The other one I'm going to drop on you here is Ohio State has the number one red zone defense in college football. They have only seen 7 possessions against them in the red zone. Luke, do you want to guess how many times someone got points on them in 7 different trips into the red zone against Matt Patricia's Ohio State defense?
3.
2, and they were both field goals. Ohio State is currently the only team in the country to not have a red zone touchdown against them. They're also one of the best on third down. And now Minnesota gets to go play them in their homecoming game and a night game. I know this is going to sound incredibly defeatist throughout the purposes of this episode. And I understand there's a faction of you listening thinking, well, why even play the game? Because this is why you play the game. You never know what's going to happen. Maybe Ron Johnson's 2000 performance in the horseshoe is going to reincarnate himself in Jalen Smith. I don't know. That's why you play the games. I will just say, for the amount of teams that Minnesota has played really well in the top 10. And I think about when they beat Penn State in 2019, when they played the Buckeyes really close in, what was it, 2022? I think to lead off the season, where it was a back and forth shootout until Muhammad Ibrahim popped his Achilles.
Yeah, that was the first game of the season.
Last year, when the Gophers took Penn State down to the wire, where it's 26-25 with 6 minutes left. Fleck is thinking to himself on the sidelines, I got all 3 timeouts. All we got to do is just get a stop. 6 minutes, 3 timeouts left, and you never see the offense get the ball again because of 3 different fourth down conversions. I'm not bitter. The theme there is Minnesota under PJ Fleck has played top 10 teams exponentially better at home than they have on the road.
Yes.
I'm sure that's true for many teams in college football, where if they have to come to your place, Minnesota just generally plays better. Now, this one's going to be in Columbus against a defense that has the reigning Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week in Caden Curry. How does 5 tackles for loss last week against Washington sound to earn that nod? Sound pretty good to you. Sounds pretty good to me. They also have one of the best safeties in college football, if not the best safety in Caleb Downs, who can play free, strong, nickel, corner. Minnesota's offensive coordinator, Greg Harbaugh, today talked about how he saw him take on a puller down at the line of scrimmage, and he won. They're so gifted, and that's where all of this is to say. I know what the stats say, and then I watch them, and I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Even with eight guys drafted, they've got the players ready to go, and this is going to be an immense test for Drake Lindsey and Greg Harbaugh to try and move the ball explosively, consistently on third down, where they're one of the best third down defenses in the country. It's going to be a stout test, Luke.
Yeah, for sure. If you look at the advanced stats, one of the things that first jumped out at me, Ryan, is their net points per drive. So that's basically saying how many points are they going to get per drive? It's 0.48, and that makes sense because teams are averaging, 5.5 points per game against them. That ranks first in the country. Success rate is often, you know, a measure of how well you can sustain drives. Defensively, when you look at them, they're in the top 30 in both dropback and rush. Like, they're very, very good in that way. As I look at this game, if you're the Gopher offense, really, I tried to look at Parker Fleming's CFB graphs. Again, if you want to find this, I heard from one GI reader, you can go to cfb-graphs.com. He does game previews, and there's a very good one there. But if Minnesota is going to be able to pull this massive upset or keep it even, Ryan, to within a one-score game, I think that the explosive plays are going to have to happen, both offensively and defensively, because Minnesota's EPA, which is expected points added per rush, ranks 67th nationally. In their what?
So about average if you're 67.
Yeah. About average. But if you look at their rushing success rate, they're 111th nationally, which is very low, very much at the bottom. And at the end of the day, like, this is the number one defense, and they deserve it, right? They're just not letting people score touchdowns, as you already alluded to. And their defensive, you know, their defensive success rate is 22nd in the country. So you're not going to get many chances. So if you're PJ Fleck and you're wanting to control the clock, I just don't see how that's particularly possible, at least given what we see statistically. So I think you have to be able to take your chances if you want to, you know, give yourself a chance to win this specific game.
I'm going to give you what they call in the radio business a teaser, Luke. You want to know what my offensive key to the game is going to end up being?
Explosive plays.
It is keep Drake Lindsey upright and let him slang that thing.
Sure.
I want to see nothing to do with the run game, because they can't run it without Darius Taylor. And you're not going to be able to run it likely consistently at all in the horseshoe. So I'm going to make a plea in a few minutes to do what they did last week in the final 40 minutes of the game. And that is pass the ball to set up the run. And Fleck, did you read my article, or at least listen to the press conference when I asked Fleck about that specifically, where I said, and I'll paraphrase it, the question was some version of this. Earlier in your tenure, when you had Rodney Smith, Mo Ibrahim, Kirk Ciarrocca, you guys were a run to pass offense. Now, with Drake Lindsey in 2025 in this current iteration.
Oh, yes, I did hear this. Yes.
And did you hear his response?
he talked out of both sides of his mouth.
I mean, he said a lot without saying a lot.
Yeah.
And that's not anything different than most press conferences, but he's like, we want to be run to pass. We also want to be pass to run. We want to pass to pass. We want to run to run.
I don't think he was ready for the question. Because it's a pretty nuanced question, but yes, I did think he kind of said he took both sides.
Yeah. I just think that has to be the approach in this game, where what are Minnesota's strengths as an offense right now? Your biggest strength is your quarterback. And I think about how many players on Minnesota's offense would play for Ohio State. I think Drake Lindsey would have a great chance to be at this stage. If Ohio State wanted to get him out of the portal, I think they'd be very interested. I think about maybe a couple of, I mean, I think pretty highly of what we've seen from Nathan Roy as a redshirt freshman. And I think across the other side, where Phillip Daniels is currently starting for Ohio State at right tackle, And I'm thinking to myself, well, I think Nathan Roy is better than what we saw from Phillip Daniels as a redshirt freshman last year. But that's kind of my point, is if I'm going to go down swinging in the horseshoe, I want to go down not just swinging, but slinging it. That's where I want to be. So we'll get to that a little bit later.
All right. I'll just make one more comment just around the stats stuff. We often talk about counting stats and advanced stats. And I just want to point out that counting stats would be like yards and receptions and those sorts of things, Ryan, right? But as many know, counting stats really don't tell the whole story, and not all yards are created equal. Advanced stats really move past like raw yardage and give a much richer and more actionable measure of a team's strength and kind of potential outcomes. So, for instance, we'll talk about EPA, and I think that we've probably taken for granted the fact that EPA is expected points added, right? And this is a measure of, you know, how based on the most recent play, like how much more likely you are to score. So therefore, you know, how advantageous was that play to your ability to score? And then success rate is, you know, how you sustain a drive over time. So we'll use those. I'll try to remember to define them. And at the end of the day, I will try not to read the numbers straight off. If you liked how we approached that in the offense, do let us know. Ryan, let's catch a quick break, and then we'll talk some defense. Ryan, it is the fall again, and there are things like big tractors on the road and big trucks. And who knows, some people might get into accidents. It happens, right? There just might be even more dust. Now, if you have insurance and you think you're paying too much, now would be a great time to reach out to the biggest Gopher fan in your life, Ryan, that can actually help people save money on their insurance.
Yeah, and I've talked about on this podcast for a long time about how the Bird Insurance Agency, who's owned by my father, they believe in service. And the best example I can give is my own recent insurance claim, where I had a hailstorm come through like many of you did here in the last couple of months. And I wanted to submit a claim. I knew what the size of the hail was. And the funny part is, Luke, the initial adjuster who came out didn't agree. But guess what happened? My father went to bat for, like he has, many different people. And now they came back, changed their tune. We work with the roofer, and I'm going to get a brand new roof out of the deal. But because he doesn't want to be the biggest, he just wants to be the best, I get a brand new roof. And you know what I had to do for it? Absolutely nothing. So if you live in North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, Michigan, New York, Florida, or Utah, and you're thinking to yourself, I'm paying way too much for what my home, my auto, my commercial, whatever the UTV, boat, whatever it is in your life, check them out online, insurancebyburns, all one word, .com, or you can email him directly, mention the podcast, bill@insurancebyburns.com.
Also, please just keep an eye out for big implements on the roads. Take your time. Give them some space. All right, Ryan, let's talk about when the Gophers are on defense. I will pull up some stats here. On the season, Ohio State is averaging 36.3 points per game. That ranks 8th in the Big Ten and 37th nationally. Minnesota is giving up only 16.3 points per game, which ranks 8th in the Big Ten and 25th nationally. In terms of total offense, Ohio State is averaging 445 yards of total offense. And the Gophers are giving up 230 yards of total offense, which ranks 3rd and 9th, both in Big Ten rank, 3rd and 9th in FBS. The Buckeyes are averaging, let's see here, in terms of rushing offense, 181 yards on the ground. And the Gophers are giving up 65 yards on the ground. And then the Buckeyes are averaging 264 yards of total or of passing offense. And the Gophers are giving up 164 on the season. This Buckeye defense probably just isn't as explosive as we're used to, right? But let me tell you, they are very good in the run game, Ryan, and they have a very, very good, talented young back.
It is a fascinating offense to talk about, because you think about the amount of explosive skill position players that Ohio State has had in the last 20, 30 years.
Just think about that. Can you just think about that 2022 game, right? Like, it felt like a tidal wave when they would be on offense, from Travion Henderson to Chris Olave to whoever it was, right? Just big play after big play after big play.
And now I look at what this current iteration of the Buckeye team has been so far, at least offensively, and they are not humming on all cylinders like they normally do. And that's, I mean, they're playing just fine, but they're not playing at an explosive level. I think my favorite stat that I looked up this week when trying to deep dive this game is, this one is going to throw you and I think every other listener off their game when I say it. Minnesota's offense has more 20-plus yard gains than Ohio State's.
That's crazy to think.
That is insane to me. When you have Jeremiah Smith, you have Carnell Tate, you have Max Clair, you have a five-star quarterback in Julian San, who is currently leading the Big Ten in completion percentage at 78. And you've got Bo Jackson as your tailback.
Well, you forgot.
That's not a joke, by the way.
You forgot one thing. And you've got P.J. Fleck on the other side.
Yeah.
Like,
you two have P.J. Fleck on the other side.
Yeah.
But when I saw that Bo Jackson was one of the tailbacks that the Buckeyes play, I thought to myself, what is this, Tecmo Bowl? Is he Bo Jackson Jr.? He's not. To be very clear here, he is not related to the Bo Jackson we're all thinking about. Do you know what his father's name is, which is also incredibly ironic in this discussion?
Michael?
Lamar.
Oh.
As in Lamar Jackson.
It was football. I was trying to just think of a big name that ended in Jackson. Okay.
I think that was a great guess.
Thank you.
I think you should give yourself some credit there. But his dad, to be clear here as well, is not actually Lamar Jackson of the Baltimore Ravens. It is fascinating to look at this Ohio State offense and not see big plays everywhere.
Yeah.
Because you have the most gifted receiver in college football in Jeremiah Smith, who I'm sure many Gopher fans watched the opener against Texas, where he dropped a couple of passes, didn't play normally like he would. Oh, he's still alive. He's still around. He's averaging about 115 yards per game in the last three with four touchdowns. Still one of the most devastating and explosive receivers out there. That is the thing, though, with this offense, is they went from having Chip Kelly as the offensive mastermind last year with Will Howard and Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins, like two guys that are currently in the NFL for running backs. And then Chip Kelly, I believe, is now, where is he now? He's with the Raiders, right?
Yeah,
Las Vegas.
Yep.
Well, that's where I think that's probably a part of this issue, is going from Chip Kelly to long time, and I'm talking long time, Ohio State assistant Brian Hartline. I don't know that, how do I want to phrase this? I don't know that Hartline is certainly the mastermind that Chip Kelly was, and that shouldn't have probably been expected of him, considering this is his first real shot to be the guy on offense in terms of an offensive coordinator. He's certainly one of the best recruiters of receivers in the last 15 years, but in terms of scheme and getting them to execute consistently, I mean, Ohio State's still putting up points, but they're just not putting up explosives and points like we've seen in yesteryear. So that's going to be the thing for Danny Collins, is you need to find a way to get takeaways, but you also need to find a way, and I think this is more foreshadowing for my key to the game, you got to make tackles in space. If the Minnesota has that tackling performance in Columbus that they had last weekend in Minneapolis, Ohio State's going to put up 40 points.
Mm-hmm.
You can't miss 15 tackles or whatever the number was, according to Pro Football Focus, and expect Ohio State's playmakers not to just have explosive after explosive after explosive. Now, the thing is, and I will also note this, part of the reason why Ohio State is not putting up explosives is because teams are just saying, Jeremiah Smith, you're not going to beat me.
Yeah.
He's very rarely not seeing a safety over the top or whatever that may be. But finding a way to generate pressure on Julian Sain, who is their quarterback, like I said, leads the Big Ten in completion percentage at 78%. And then making Ohio State sustain 10-play drives, that is exactly where you need to live in a very hostile environment.
I think the challenge there, though, Ryan, is as the stats bore out, is that they have been good at sustaining drives over the season, right? If you look at their success rate, they're third in the country on dropbacks, right? When you look at their offense, on early downs, they rank 27th in the country. On on third and fourth down. They're not elite, but they're 52nd in the country. At the end of the day, we're not seeing the explosives that we're used to, but they're still able to have a really solid net points per drive. They're 40th in the country at 2.33 point net points per drive. This isn't the team that we're used to, but what do they often say is that defense wins championships. And if you have just enough offense, like it's going to be hard to beat a team like that.
It's just so strange to like look at points per game, and I'm looking at points per game against FBS opponents. So each team from Minnesota and Ohio State has played three. Now, I would argue Ohio State has played much more difficult, potentially, opponents in Texas, Washington, and I believe it was Ohio. But Ohio State is currently 14th in the conference against FBS opponents in scoring offense at 25 points per game. Minnesota is 15th at 22. I mean, that just – I'm trying to say the point here of there's a reason why this game in Vegas right now has a 44 over-under. Both teams are going to try to lean into the strengths, which is their defenses. And Ohio State is certainly capable of sustaining a drive. And I would want them to, like any defensive coordinator, would sustain drives. I don't want to see – 4 plays, 75 yards, 3 plays, 85 yards, 5 plays, 70 yards. If they go 10 plus plays every drive, they've earned it. Good for them. They're at home. Like, they're a really good football team. But it's the, if you miss tackles, that's where this thing can get pear-shaped very, very quickly.
All right. Should we get to the facts and the figures, Ryan?
Let's do it.
All right. So, facts and figures. Some of these are going to be depressing, you know, just given the historical nature of this non-rivalry. But as we know, Ohio State is ranked number one in the country. If you have never been to Columbus in a game there at Ohio Stadium, the capacity is 102,000. Ohio State, I think all time. Let me look this up. Minnesota trails. They've only won 7 times, and Ohio State has won 47 times. Minnesota is currently on a 7-game losing streak. The last meeting, Minnesota lost 37-3, and that was in Columbus in 2023. So we can use that as a precedent. This game will be on NBC, and I think I didn't look at the time if it was 6 or 6:30. I should note this quickly.
6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern.
Yeah, so that'll be on NBC. So you get Noah Eagle, you'll get Todd Blackledge as the play-by-play and color commentator. And then obviously you have the same crew for radio as well. One of the things that's interesting, and I did want to call out from the history books here, is the last win for Minnesota was actually on the road. In Columbus, they won 29-17, and I think we'll be joined by a member that played in that game. I think as you watch some of these highlights that you'll see from the last time that they won, I do believe you can see Derek Burns patting Ron Johnson on the head from one of those touchdowns in the game there. So keep an eye on that.
Here's going to be the most random factoid that you can put on your gopher friend in your life. Do you know who the tailback was that for Minnesota in that game that sealed the game with a 20-yard touchdown?
No, I don't.
I'll tell you. The name that many people are probably thinking of is Thomas Tepay. No, he was second in carries that day to one of Luke's favorite former Gophers, Tellus Redmond.
Oh, Tellus Redmond. Okay.
30 carries for 118 yards and that 20-yard touchdown to put it away late. Again, Ron Johnson gets all the accolades as he should with 8 receptions for 163 yards and a touchdown that day. He was able to flip field position, explosive play after explosive play. But it was Tellus Redmond's 30 carries on the ground that really kind of moved the chain too.
All right, taking a quick look at the weather. It looks like the game should be great weather. It'll be a little warm, 78 degrees around kickoff, and we'll be cooling down into the mid-60s as the game comes to an end. Doesn't look like there should be any rain, but it might be a little bit humid. So, I don't know. Deal with that as you wish, Ryan. I don't think wind should play a factor as well.
No.
If you look at the betting lines, I'm going to use, again, ESPN Bet for the lines. Currently, Ohio State is a 24.5-point favorite with the over-under of 45.5. I think that's really all I have to add here in terms of facts and figures. It should be an interesting affair for bettors, given the wide spread and then the really low total. They don't seem to have a lot of confidence that Minnesota is going to be able to score and compete.
Well, I mean, we've spent a lot of time
on why,
at least on it.
Yeah,
that's where I'm trying to find out, because the other factoid I'll give you is, outside of that 2000 game, Minnesota last won in Columbus in 1949 when they beat the Buckeyes 27-0 that day. Mm-hmm. I cannot find a box score of what in the world happened on that team. I'm pretty sure. Actually, you know who is a first team All Big Ten tight end on that team? Or just end, I should say?
No.
Bud Grant.
Oh, no way.
Bud Grant, and your guy Bernie Bierman was the coach way back when. So it's one time in 75 years coming into this have the Gophers gone into Columbus, but this is why they play the games, Luke.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to play the games, and you really hope that the Gophers can keep it competitive and just give yourself a mm-hmm. chance at the end. Now maybe more than ever is your opportunity to do that in this day and age. It might not be this time, but maybe in the coming years, the parity window will continue to get closer and closer, but mm-hmm. right now it doesn't seem like that's the case. So, Ryan, what are your keys to the game?
Offensively, if Minnesota's going to have a shot, they got to keep their quarterback upright, and they got to let Drake Lindsey sling that thing. He's coming off a Big Ten Freshman of the Week performance where he completed 31 of 41 passes for 324 yards and three scores in that 31-28 win. And now he gets to go into the most difficult environment he's ever played in his life against largely the most challenging defensive scheme he's seen in his life. Because not only is it going to be 100,000 people under the lights for homecoming, you get to go take on, and I take this statement as you will, Luke, is there a bigger difference week over week across the rest of Minnesota's schedule? From going from a Rob Smith defense to Matt Patricia.
Yeah, I don't think there's much of an argument there. This is going to be the biggest change.
Sweet giblets and junipers, ladies and gentlemen, because Matt Patricia is a very good defensive coach and someone with a great defensive scheme. And that's where the offensive coordinator, Greg Harbaugh, talked about it today, where they have four games of tape of what Matt Patricia likes to do with Ohio State's defense. And they have different fronts, different schematic things on the back end for how they've approached every single game. So essentially he's trying to say, we know what they've done in the previous four games, but they have four different game plans because they can go three down front, four down front, five down front, depending upon what and how they want to attack the Minnesota offense. We've given the statistics already. There has not been a single team to score 10 points against Ohio State's defense so far this year. They're the number one defense in the red zone. They're top five in the country on third down. If you want to get more into the weeds with it, Ohio State has seen double digit, their defense, I'm saying here, Luke, mm-hmm. has seen double digit third and six pluses so far this year, essentially third and long. How many conversions do opposing offenses have against Ohio State in four games there?
How many was it again? I missed the number.
It was double digit.
Oh, double digit. I'll
just say that. Third and six pluses. How many conversions?
Three.
One single third and six has been converted against that defense. So here's what I'm trying to tell you. If I'm Greg Harbaugh, the challenge is immense, but it has to start with keeping Drake upright. Your best player on offense is your quarterback, and protecting him is priority number one, and 1B is designing a game plan that gets the ball out of his hands quickly. Now, the Gopher offensive line has been much better in pass protection than run blocking, but now you get to travel to an environment where you're not going to be able to hear consistently your quarterback's cadence. And considering how ineffective, I'll say, the run game has been, why not just deploy a game plan like you did in the last 40 minutes and drop back to pass 2.5, if not 3 times more than you do handing off to the tailbacks? Do a pass to run offense. And if they are just 5-on-5 in the box and you lose, so be it. But put this thing in Drake Lindsey's hands. Now, defensively, you better tackle a lot better, or else Ohio State's athletes are going to make you pay. It is just so fascinating to me that the Buckeye offense is 15th in the conference in 20-plus yard gains, which, for what many of you think of Minnesota's lack of explosives, and I've heard from you and we've discussed it, the Golden Gopher offense has more 20-plus yard gains than Ohio State right now. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me when you got Jeremiah Smith, but he's averaging 115 yards per game in his last three, 16 yards per catch. He's got 4 touchdowns. Carnell Tate, another explosive player on the outside. They just have not gelled, and maybe that was to be expected when you're replacing an offensive coordinator. You got a first-year starter at quarterback. You're replacing 2 backs that are in the NFL with Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins. And Bo Jackson, C.J. Donaldson, and James Peoples are a pair and a spare and some air, some would say. You just have to tackle them. And it is a revenge game of sorts. I know many of you like to take a little stroll down Narrative Street with me. And I'm coming down off the buzz and the high that was the Rutgers versus Minnesota game. If you're looking for hashtag angles in this one from the media jackals, Philip Daniels, yes, that Philip Daniels who started the last handful of games for Minnesota at right tackle last season, he transferred home. Home is Ohio and is now the starting right tackle for the Ohio State Buckeyes. So if I'm Minnesota, I'm Danny Collins, this is my directive. If they go 10-plus plays to score on you, good on them. But not allowing Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate and Bo Jackson to get explosives and 40, 50-plus yard touchdowns has to be the directive, because you are struggling to get takeaways. And I asked the defensive coordinator about that today, Danny Collins, where Fleck mentioned it on Monday, they got to catch the ones that were thrown to them. And you think about that Rutgers game where players like John Nestor, Aiden Goosby, Emmanuel Carmo, Mike Gerald, Zaquan Bryan punched a ball out. 5 different instances just off the top of my head where Minnesota had the ball right there and didn't make the play. There's a reason they're on defense and not on offense. I'm cognizant of that. But now you just have 2 defensive takeaways in your last 6 games against FBS competition. You have to slow down Ohio State. And then finally, and probably the biggest one for me, and I'd be curious for your thoughts here. I just want to see Fleck attempt to win the game.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, you've won once in Columbus since 1950. And in Fleck's 2 trips to the horseshoe, the team has lost by an average of 25 points per game.
Yeah.
I'm aware of the talent discrepancy, and that shouldn't be a slight at Fleck. I mean, there's been numerous reports that Ohio State spent over $20 million last year in NIL compensation for their football team alone. We've seen their athletic director come out and run $25 million into the red to support football. Their payroll, and you can say whatever you want about it, is at least 2, if not 3 times bigger than Minnesota's, and that's the case for a lot of different people. But that's kind of where you're at, is you're a 24.5 point underdog. So play like it. That is my only plea to PJ in the first half, is throw the bleep and kitchen sink at them.
Yeah.
You offensively, defensively, maybe run a trick play on special teams.
Yeah.
And if at the end of the first 30 minutes, Luke, Minnesota's down because of that, 24-0, because some crazy things went awry, you know what? You can at least look your fans in the eye and say, we tried. But if I come out and see like an offensive game plan that is more vanilla than some of the things they serve at Dairy Queen, and peace and love to the soft serve ice cream. Lord knows you don't get a body like mine without enjoying copious amounts of Dairy Queen in my life.
So I would argue, Ryan, that PJ historically has taken a more conservative approach in games that they're big underdogs because he wants to live to fight another day. Right.
Well, that is going to be the conundrum of I just want to see them come out in the first 30 minutes of the game. And if you know what, you're down 3 touchdowns at halftime. And for those of you of a certain generation like myself, and you grew up playing, say, Madden or college football and you just want to, as the kids would say, sim to the end, and you just run it out and try to get out healthy.
Sim to the end. Amazing.
If you just want to do that in the second half after you tried in the first 30 minutes of the game, whatever. Like I said, you've got three of their next four at home, much more winnable games. But just try. I just want to see you try. Offensively, defensively, on special teams. You saw that last week with Washington when they played Ohio State. There was a fake field goal. They did some kind of tricky things. And that's the thing about playing Ohio State is for Minnesota and every other team, you know you're going to give your best effort because it's Ohio State. Mm-hmm. So play and design an offensive game plan. And no matter what offensively, and a game like this especially to me, we've just seen too many times, to your point, like in a game like this, especially in the early years of PJ, it would be, let me just get out of here healthy. I know I have no shot. Mm-hmm. It's year nine. And I ain't calling for them to win the game or else fire PJ Fleck. That's ridiculous. And especially without potentially Darius Taylor and this Ohio State defense, we've talked about it. But just let the offense, defense, and special teams get weird in the first 30 minutes. And if you're in it, you go full speed ahead until you're not. We saw that in 2022 when Minnesota played Ohio State. But just try to win the game. Make an attempt to win this game. And if you're in it, great. If you're not, then you can do your sim to the end in the second half.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up. You know, you bring up 2022. I thought of actually 2023 at home against Michigan, right? That was another one where I didn't think they really gave it much of a try. They also gave up some turnovers early, right? The immediate pick six. But yeah, I'm with you on that. Let's give it a try. Throw the kitchen sink at them. You know, like show a little pride, maybe. We'll go from there.
I also have to stop myself here because I can already see your DMs coming in. I continue to reference the Ohio State game at home as if it was 2022. Before you please click send on that email or that direct
message. Oh, that would be 2021.
It was 2021.
Yeah.
I am sorry. I mixed up the years. I am a human. I make a mistake. I'm recognizing the mistake. We're talking about it, and now we're moving on. But you gave Ohio State everything that they could ask for, where you're leading at halftime and then Mo pops his Achilles. Just give your best effort in a game like that. This is all I'm asking, and then see where the chips fall at halftime.
Yeah, what a depressing moment in Gopher football, too. Okay, let's get to predictions again. Ryan, on the season, you're 3-1. In straight up, you're 2-1 against the over under, and you're 2-1 against the spread. I'm the same, except the one difference is that I am 1-2 against the spread. So I haven't been very good against the spread so far this year, but it's still early. The Gophers are a 24.5 point underdog, and the over under is 45.5. Would you like to go first or second, Ryan?
I will go second.
Okay. You kind of stole my thunder. I was going to basically say, hey, I really want to see the Gophers play and give it everything they have and try and keep the game close and give yourself a chance if you're able to give yourself a chance. I question whether or not PJ will do that given the history that we know and given, you know, the games that they have at home ahead of them. To begin the season, I predicted this game to be 38-14. I don't think that's going to be the case this time. I am going to go with a 24-7 victory for your Ohio State Buckeyes. Really trying to
say, that's a bullish thing for you to. You should take another sip of that maroon and gold color lean you're drinking if we're going 24-7 Gophers.
Yeah, I was trying to like lean it out like I got some faith, but no, I unfortunately don't. I am going to give him a touchdown, though. And the other thing I want to say is I would like to see, like, I'm going to consider it an accomplishment if they find a way to score more than 10 points, too. Like, that's how much I am impressed with this defense and what I saw them do against Washington. I think Washington is a little bit better than the Gophers, and that's just how good I think Ohio State is.
Yeah, and I know there's fans listening to this, and I understand their perspective that, Ryan, it's year nine. What are silver linings? What are we doing? I think every game is so unique, in terms of where it is within the scope of the season and what's going on. And especially if Darius Taylor does not play, you just have no run game. And if Ohio State just knows that because of the inefficiencies up front on the offensive line, and I'll say this, I would be surprised if Minnesota ran the same starting five out on the offensive line.
Okay.
I know it made a lot more sense to deploy a change after the bye week, and I would probably argue that Minnesota is a week too late, especially on the right side of the offensive line. But I expect to see them change things a little bit offensively on their offensive line. So
I also need to say that I misquoted as I literally thought about my joke there that I was trying to deliver, and I said 24. I meant 34-7. I'm sorry, 34-7. That is still an under, but that is an Ohio State cover.
So if you want to look at it through the maroon and gold color beverage that Luke Buehr is clearly sipping on between, I can only assume is cough medicine, cold medicine, and I'm going to assume some of that maroon madness that we made earlier in the season. Luke's in a great spot here mentally, if you can't tell. Glass half full. Let's go that. Glass half full is Minnesota's defense in this scenario has to carry the load. And in this scenario, Anthony Smith, Mr. I have 16 and a half tackles for loss in my last 11 games, Anthony Smith. I mean, he has been tremendous, and I feel like we haven't talked about him enough for what he has done in almost his last full season of play. But he turns the corner on former friend Philip Daniels to get a strip sack of Julian Sain. Maverick Baranowski scoops and scores. Minnesota's defense tackles well in space throughout the entire game, and a late touchdown from Drake Lindsey to Jalen Smith shocks the world, and the Gophers win 14-12. That is the world when you think about game scripts, and I talk about this constantly on this podcast. What is the game script that needs to happen for that sliver of a chance, that 5, 10, 15% chance, whatever you think it is, for Minnesota to go into the number one team's place and beat them on their own turf? It is the defense dominates, and they get a takeaway, and the offense gets an actual touchdown, and it has to be an explosive. Now, in the glass half empty, my favorite Johnny Raincloud scenario, Jeremiah Smith gets loose early and often. He has his best game of the season with 150 receiving yards and a couple of scores. The Gopher offensive line struggles to block the reigning Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week, Caden Curry. They also struggle to block his favorite guy beside him, Kenyatta Jackson. And the Gopher offense struggles to sustain a drive like so many different people have done. The Ohio State running game gets going in the second half, and Minnesota just sims until the end, and the Buckeyes win 45-3. Now, reality is always somewhere in between. We talk about that constantly. I'm just very skeptical that Minnesota's offense can sustain drives.
Yep.
Against this Buckeye defense in this environment. Now, if this game was in Minneapolis, I would think differently. But because this is going to be in front of a night game, homecoming, 100,000 fans, Drake Lindsey's first time dealing with this environment, I expect to see moments where he looks human. And that is totally fair for him as a redshirt freshman. I think it's close to halftime because I do think they try, but it does not end that way. I'm going to say Ohio State wins the game. Number one, Ohio State, 30. Your Golden Gophers, 9. So Minnesota does not become the first team to put up double digit. So 30-9.
All right. I like it. Do you want to go through some of the Big Ten games, and then we'll close it out?
Let's do it.
Okay. I do think I just want to be state that I am thankful now that we are into Big Ten season, because there aren't 18 games we have to go through.
In many of them, it's the Big Ten team against the little brothers of the poor.
Yeah, right. So Wisconsin is at number 20 Michigan, 11 a.m. on Fox. Michigan is a 17.5 point favorite, 43.5 over under.
Ain't that crazy? Michigan. Wild. Like, Michigan is a good Big Ten team. There's a reason why they're ranked 20th in the country. But for them to be favored by 17 points against Wisconsin says more to me about where Wisconsin is at right now than it does about Michigan with a true freshman quarterback. And I understand that we don't know the status of Billy Edwards versus Danny O'Neill. I think what I saw out of the Wisconsin media was that Danny O'Neill
yep.
is probably going to be the guy going in there. This is a Michigan defense that has been playing with their hair on fire. And this is a Wisconsin offense that has been struggling to do anything. This starts the stretch for Wisconsin where they had the bye week to hopefully get a little healthier, reset. But now you get on the road at Michigan before Iowa comes into town, and Iowa has a bye week to prepare for you. Oh, lucky you, Badger fans. And then you take on the number one team in the country, Ohio State, at home before traveling to the number two team in the country, Oregon. This thing is going to get a lot worse before it gets better. So I hope Madison's ready.
All right, number 22, Illinois, travels to Purdue, 11 a.m. kick on BTN. They are a 9.5-point favorite with the over-under of 56.5.
What do you make of that? We just talked about Michigan being a three-touchdown favorite, a three-score favorite. Then you look at this line for Illinois-Purdue.
I sort of wonder if it's a letdown and it's away.
It is a way, but you've also got, Michigan's the 20th ranked team in the country. Yeah. Illinois is the 22nd. Purdue's 2-2, 0-1 in the Big Ten. Wisconsin's 0-1, 2-2 in the Big, or 2-2 overall.
I don't know, man. It's about moving money. It's not about predicting the game always exactly correctly. It's trying to move money to start. So,
well, what did you say the over under was in this game?
56.5. So high scoring.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think Purdue can put up explosives, and Illinois is just so banged up defensively that whoever is going to win this one, you're going to have to put up some points. I'm just surprised that Illinois is not a bigger favorite.
All right, probably no surprise here. Number 7, Penn State at UCLA, a 2:30 kick on CBS. Penn State is a 25.5-point favorite with the over-under of 49.5.
What do you? How long do you think a direct flight, and I don't believe it exists?
No, from Happy Valley to LA. No, yeah. I doubt it.
What would it be? Well, I'm sure
I guess they chartered it. So yeah, it would be direct.
5 hours, 6 hours.
I'd probably guess 5.5 or 6.
Because you can get a direct flight from Columbus to Seattle, which is what the Ohio State team did to go play Washington last week. And I think Delta had it as like a 5-hour and 15-minute flight. It's got to be somewhere around there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Penn State, can you imagine this slate to start the season where they played nobody in the non-conference? Nevada, yeah. FIU, and Villanova. You have your whiteout game against Oregon. And now you play the two worst teams in the Big Ten back-to-back with a road game at UCLA where there's going to be four people in the Rose Bowl.
Yep.
And then you get to come home to take on Northwestern, who dreadful.
There will be more Penn State fans at the UCLA game, I bet. Okay.
Yeah, it gets a lot more difficult for Penn State in the second half with Ohio State and Indiana and a road game at Iowa there. But what a schedule for Penn State. I mean, you got to take that every time you can get it.
All right. Washington travels to Maryland for a 2:30 kick on BTN. Washington is a 6.5-point favorite with a 52.5 over under. This surprised me that it wasn't a little closer.
Well, especially because what's a flight from Seattle to Newark? I mean, that's got to be 6 hours.
No, you're
right?
Flying into D.C., into Maryland.
Yeah.
But But I thought it would be closer. I think more of Maryland than this. And I'm just not sold yet on Washington. I'll just be completely honest. I'm just not. I think they definitely have some talent. I'm still inherently skeptical of Jed Fish.
It is a 5-hour flight. So you've got the road team going 5 hours to take on a 4-0 Maryland team who had a bye week to prepare for you while you took on the number one team in the country. We mention these things because I think that last point is important. One had a bye, one had a home game against the number one team in the country and now has to hop on a flight for 5 hours. It wouldn't shock me one bit if Maryland wins this game.
No.
Here's the two outcomes for this game. Maryland wins by 10 plus or Maryland loses by 17 plus as we get into October, Mike Locksley. There is no in between with Maryland. We've seen that so many times over the years.
Very possible. Okay. Northwestern is going to play host to UNL Monroe. 2:30 kick on BTN. Northwestern is 11.5-point favorite with the over under 40.5. Non-conference game in October. Let's go.
There's not much to say about this one to where
No,
I just want to see, can Preston Stone, the Northwestern quarterback, he leads the Big Ten in turnover-worthy plays the first month of the season.
Yep.
Can he start to clean it up as Northwestern needs him to in the most dire of ways?
Okay, a very interesting game. Michigan State at Nebraska, 3 p.m. kick on FS1. Nebraska's an 11.5-point favorite with the over-under of 48.5. I am very curious on this one. Can A. Aiden Childs pull off the miracle?
Well, that's where I'm surprised the over-under is what it is, because Michigan State's offense has scored 42, 41, and 31 in their last three games. And two of those are against FBS competition. And I just, like, the last we saw Michigan State, they were playing in an 11 p.m. local time game against USC. And that's where I think I've had more than a few different listeners send to me, how you think Joe Rossi's like in East Lansing right now? Because I've seen that the fans out there aren't too keen on him giving up 40 points to Boston College, 24 to Youngstown State, and 45 most recently here to USC.
Yeah, have you seen some of their advanced metrics too, defensively?
No, is it bad?
It's not good. Guess their early down EPA. I looked at this today.
Out of 136 FBS teams, I'm going to guess it's like 102nd, which would be pretty bad.
118.
That's not great, Bob.
No, hold on. And then what do you think they are on third and fourth down success?
You saying that, 120th?
94th. Like,
can't get off the field and you stink on early downs.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a recipe to fail.
Yeah. That explains the 40 plus points that they're giving up, right? Like, And then if you look at their net points per drive, they're 96th in the country. They're giving up 2.2, but their offense is also 46th in the country at 2.2. So
this is a big stretch coming up for them. They've got Nebraska this weekend, then they get to take on UCLA at home. That should be a win. But prior to their fifth game in a row and Minnesota's sixth game in a row to start November, prior to when they come to Huntington Bank Stadium, Michigan State takes on Indiana, who is as hot as any team in college football right now. And then the week prior to when the Fighting Joe Rossi makes his return, they got, some would call it an emotional game. Some listening to this podcast would say, you're going to slap your suspenders against your chest as you take a stroll down Narrative Street when it's Michigan State the week before. I am very intrigued to see what this Michigan State team looks like off the bye. 3 p.m. on what did you say? FS1?
Mm-hmm. All right. Should be fun. For those traveling, have safe travels. Thanks for listening. You know, support our sponsors. We have a ton of fun doing this. Thanks for enduring my current sickness. And you know what? Go Gophers.